This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Summer is here and the time is out to shed unwanted body fat for swimmer season with X-Lean 5 from our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. X-Lean 5 has a unique thermogenic and lipogenic formula to target fat cells and raise your metabolism at the same time. So when you combine it with restricted calories and quality exercise, you'll see amazing results, just like K100 listener Jay, who has lost 50 pounds and counting and 10 inches from his waist, and that's just one of the hundreds of K100 fam who are currently using Legacy products and love their results.
I'd be friend of the show, Jay Baca.
Hey, Bach.
Yeah.
Legacy was founded by a friend of the show, Nick Aldis. Nick personally answers customer questions and gives advice on getting in your best shape when you become a Legacy customer. He uses the products himself, so you know he believes in the results. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com and use code K100. It gets you a 10% discount to help support this show, and we're proud that so many K100 fam are bettering themselves and getting in their best shape ever and supporting LegacySupps.com and our show. With protein powders, greens, testosterone boosters, sleep aids, and more, Legacy has you covered. Level up with Legacy now at LegacySupps.com. Boom. So Harry Ruiz has an interesting email here. Is AEW booking for their audience good enough? K100's resident AEW Mark Harry Ruiz here. really enjoyed Forbidden Door. Apparently it was a huge success financially. As Tony Khan said, it was the third highest wrestling gate in Canada's history, only behind both WrestleManias there. Yes, it also reportedly beat the show main evented by Roman and Sami Zayn earlier this year. With Warner Brothers Discovery apparently being happy with the steady ratings, even though not spectacular, for a company that is in its fourth year, do you think long-term AEW can maintain its success, even though it's pretty clear that they're only booking for their hardcore fans and don't seem to be interested in getting those casual viewers? Personally, I found myself very engaged with now having 5 hours of great matches on TV to watch the last 2 weeks, even though there's not a lot of storylines. Thank you for always providing great content, Conan, Disco, and Joe. Patreon is 1,000% worth the money invested in it. P.S. And this is a very important line right here, okay? And I maybe want to have Harry Ruiz on his segment this week to address specifically what Harry Ruiz sees that maybe we don't. Disco, Larry Dallas has been very disrespectful, and that disrespect should not be tolerated. So that's interesting. Do you think Larry Dallas has been disrespectful to me, Conan?
Sometimes, yeah.
All right. Should it be tolerated?
Larry's, Larry's got like a natural heelish.
Should his disrespect to me be tolerated?
No. Would you tolerate it from anybody else?
Would you condemn his disrespect? That's for you.
That's your question. Conan needs to condemn it.
Oh, Conan, would you condemn Larry Dallas's disrespect of DI? He's taking shots.
Would I condemn it?
Yeah.
Would you condemn Larry Dallas?
I just told him, bro. He should bury him for being disrespectful.
Yes.
Okay. So, Harry, we talked about this at the open of the show. No, they cannot continue to just maintain. They're not going to get casual viewers. They're not doing anything. What they need to do is start grabbing some of the WWE fans by doing more episodic storytelling, because obviously that's what a lot of the WWE fans are interested in. And you can do that. It's not that hard. Get your writers to start writing a show that shows threads, character development, reasons for guys. Don't keep bragging that you don't do scripted promos. And you're giving a guy a minute promo in the back, and he's like, hey, I'm coming after you on Rampage Friday night. I'm going to beat your butt and stuff. And that's what he's delivering. Okay, because I'm not interested in a lot of your guys, and I'm not interested in watching them wrestle, even though you think their matches are really good. They're great matches, but you can't get me interested to watch them have their matches. Like, even though the matches are great, and that's not a good enough selling point, is that these guys' matches are great, because the numbers don't lie. So that's what I would say. I watched two clips. Supposedly they said that that's what these guys do. They have the show Ospreay versus Kenny Omega. They have their match.
Everybody talks
about how unbelievable it was, amazing. But I saw two spots in the match, and one of them was he almost broke Kenny Omega's neck. We watched that. And another spot near the end, Ospreay gives him the running knee, and he does the good close up right in front of the camera. Does a nice little playful beep, slap on the side like this, like the girls do. Boom.
And I don't think he needs to, like, because they were laying him in anyway. Yeah.
Of course he doesn't. So these guys, like, all this great shit that these guys are doing, dude, if you're doing this and you're slapping your thigh with the playful slap like the girls do, your match stinks, in my opinion. And you're not going to change my opinion. I don't care how good everybody else thinks your match is. That shit looks like crap. In my opinion, in my eyes, and a lot of other people see the exact same thing. It looks stupid. And you guys are embracing this style of work, and it's like, you know, okay, you got a good fetish community of fans that think that's fine, and, you know, but it looks like shit. And you guys are exposing the business in your matches, which means you don't know how to work. Like, you guys aren't good. These guys are not great workers. People don't understand this. Jerry Lawler is a great worker. Okay, because Jerry Lawler makes the stuff look realistic, and he's very light. He's not stiffing you. His punches aren't tagging; they're coming perfect. His punches look fantastic, and he barely grazes you. You sell them. You make it look like a fight. You do things, and you sell. You guys are just doing all this acrobatic shit and everything, and all this diving over the ropes and you're slapping your thighs constantly and simulating the sound, because I don't know why, just, you know, kicking a guy and the guy selling the kick doesn't work. You have to do this. That's nothing to it except it makes it look fake. So it's like, you know, yeah, I'm not buying. I'm not going to watch that pay-per-view. I saw enough of clips. They're all slapping their thighs, and that's all. They're all doing the stupid form. Did you see the spot where Takeshita knocked out Ishii? The fans are trying to make it sound like this was a sell. It was absolutely not a sell. When you forearm a guy, if you light up a former guy, you're supposed to forearm him in the side of the neck, okay? And you make it look like, you know, it's done very well, like you guys like Finley, Regal, some of the greats of our time, like did forearms, and they look fantastic. And all they're doing is just, they're hitting you right here. Takeshita forearmed him and did, like, you know how the girls do, where I say it's like a wrestling hockey check where they like check you, bro. He forearmed him right in the jaw, and Ishii just, like, you know, took a bump and soul, like he was knocked out, and it looked like he knocked him out. I guarantee you he did. He knocked him out with that shot, because he forearmed him square in the jaw. Instead of in the side of the thing, like it was very poorly and amateurish. And like, I'm watching all this, and like, everybody's talking about how great this stuff is. I'm like, dude, these guys are hurting each other out there. That's not good work. When you're hurting your opponent, that's not good work. I've never hurt anybody. Like, Conan wouldn't hurt. Conan's the, like, for example, Conan had a couple, but you've had a few botches in spots where, like, when Hoovy got mad at you because he thought you intentionally dropped him on his neck that time, but like you just dropped him, like it was whatever, right? But that's a botch. These guys are doing stuff like that. It's like that's part of the match. I'm like, well, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you trying to do shit like this? So it's like, you know, I don't know. I just
here, DI, I got it on the screen. I can't enlarge it though. So
oh, you can't enlarge it?
No.
All right. Yeah, I can see it. I can enlarge my screen. Okay. Yeah, he just formed right straight on in the. Watch it again. His form hits him. Yeah. Go back.
He rocked his jaw.
Yeah. I don't know if this guy. I'm like, what? You know, like this. These guys supposed to be great. You know, Don Callis, and this guy's better than Ric Flair.
Well, you got to remember that. You know, it's in the name, Strong Style. So they like slapping the shit at each other, forearming each other hard, and falling in the back of their head. Like it is a very physical, logical style. When you take out the fighting spirit spot that you don't like, which I really don't give a fuck about, where they just forearm each other, nobody sells. People like that. That's what they've been educated to. And you know, but I think that that I like New Japan style. I always have. And I just think that answering Harry's question, who actually has a license plate that says AW Mark or something like
or
that.
Or life
right?
or something like that, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They over deliver to their hardcore. Okay, which is not a bad idea to the point where the mainstream fans are going, what the fuck is this? I don't like this, you know, but they must be doing something right, because as much as people bitch about their ratings, bro, do you know how hard it is to get a TV deal? Mega hard. And no way they get two extra shows. They even had a behind the scenes one. Did you ever see that one?
No.
All Access or something like that.
I never saw it, but I know what you're talking
about. I don't know what happened to that show, but it was brutal because it was mostly like wrestlers bitching about other wrestlers. They had this thing where I didn't even know this, but Ruby and Tay Mello had some heat from before. So they were going into a match with heat and Ruby was threatening to kick her ass. And then they had another one between Britt and Thunder Rosa where, you know, they made it abundantly clear they didn't like each other. It was just kind of high schoolish. You know what I'm saying? And that's their problem. Great matches, very little storyline, a lot of times very little logic or continuity. They don't have enough video packages to present performers or, you know, do storyline progression. And this is some of the stuff WWE's done so well that we've all grown up on. And I think we should know a little bit better how to do these things. Impact does a pretty good job of that. MLW does a pretty good job of that because Court worked in WWE. Yeah.
I think
who worked?
Court Bauer.
Court Bauer.
You said Court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kurt.
You should Kurt.
Kurt Bauer. Yeah. Yeah.
Conan.
What up?
If you haven't heard already, it's Smooth Sack Summer. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you escape from pubes to bum.
Nice.
That's right. This is a summer to keep your balls cool while still looking hot with Manscaped. The leaders at Below the Waist Grooming are making sure we all have a ball this summer by giving our pants partners everything they need to stay fresh. So dive headfirst into Smooth Sack Summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with their code K100. Now, I used to shave my balls with a razor, and I get nicks and cuts sometimes. It's a pain in the ass.
That's risky business.
But now our friends from Manscaped have provided us with the ultimate package. It's called the Performance Package 4.0, and it has everything you need to prepare for that summer bod. Our favorite product, we've spoken about this many times, is the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer that features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4,000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for more precise shave, and it's waterproof. You can do it in the shower, the pool, you can do it in the bathtub. You can do it in, like, Joe, I'm sure you probably like to, like, you like to bathe in the toilet sometimes. You can do it in there if you want to.
I was going to say, you're gonna shave your pubes in the pool?
No, I'm not.
Whose pool is this? That's disgusting.
Well, that's Philadelphia. A lot of people do that in their pools.
Right.
Now they have the perfect haircut, too. You can use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even as the hottest summer barbecues. Most importantly, and Joe, you need this, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. To stay cool in the heat.
For sure.
With the soothing aloe vera formula, is very comfortable. It's the best in the business for below the waist freshness. And the clear dry formula will keep looking good while smelling good. Then Conan's favorite product, the Manscaped Boxers. And these are easily the most comfortable boxers you will ever put on. and the cool shed travel bag that Conan can load all his Manscaped products in and put it in his luggage when he travels to Mexico for AAA. Also, wearing sandals with some nasty toenails during the summer months? Well, take a look at the Shears 2.0, and it's a luxury nail grooming kit. It's perfect. The kit includes stainless steel nail cutters, tweezers, and grooming scissors. And with the performance package, your balls will be ready to impress, but make sure you cover the rest with the Shears 2.0. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. It's one of our favorite products. It's smooth sack summer, boys, so get on board or get left behind. You know, during the summer months, you got to keep that area taken care of.
Yeah, and the Shears 2.0 being one of their new releases, that's great for, I'm not sure, if I haven't seen Disco, but I know for a fact that I wear slides on my feet sometimes, and Conan is definitely a slide wearer, so that's great for guys that keep their feet exposed during the summer. You have that sweet nail trimmer kit.
Yeah, well, you know, this is our best-selling item for a reason. A lot of wrestlers in the business have reached out to us to take advantage of the special discount that you do when you put in our code. But, you know, they take care of you. And this isn't just for your nether regions. You can use it to shave your arms. You can use it under your arms. You can use it for your chest. You can use it for your face. Don't be like Joe and use the same one that you use on your balls on your face. Buy two different ones. They also have, like he said, the ball deodorant, a travel bag. This is excellent. They take care of you. They got shampoo. They got conditioner. We take care of you here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with all our products are supplements to improve your health. With Legacy right. Supps, Manscaped, improve your look. You know, it's just this personal betterment.
How you look is how you're treated. And, you know, if you want to, you know, impress your significant other or the other sex or the same sex or whatever you're into, you want to be groomed and smelling clean. You know what I'm saying? And they take care of you. And like Disco said, the boxers are the most comfortable ones I've ever used. And that's all I ever use now. So take it from us. Check out Manscaped for all your grooming needs. Home.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Nexus of Alexis Figueroa, subject is Hogan. Hello, team. Question about Hogan, Horace Hogan, whatever happened to him? Was he brutal Bob Evans to work with? P.S. What NFL team you guys looking forward to this season? Two teams I'm interested in the NFL. Number one, my Falcons, because of Bijan Robinson, because like this is unbelievable. Bijan Robinson is the number eight running back, the eighth pick draft pick, right? Right. Conan, you don't know as much about this as I do. Bro, the fantasy.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I know he's a beast, yeah. But I cannot remember a rookie running back. It's been years. Bro, the guys like in the fantasy football guys, they're ranking him like the number three or number four running back in fantasy this year.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, this guy's like, you know, is he supposed to be that good? That's like, bro, number three or number four running back is like 15 touchdowns and 1,500 yards.
Right.
And like these guys are around. So I'm interested in seeing how good this guy is. And I may like maybe week one or week two, we'll find out. But I'm also interested in Carolina because of what I'm hearing about Bryce Young. Bro, he came in. The people say he's got a confident swag about him that does not come across as egotistical. And like after like two practices, they made him like the captain and the quarterback. So I think this guy might be a big deal. So like, you know, because like usually, you know, you hear the rookies come in and struggle. This guy came in and just basically took over the team in like the first few days of practice. So I'm interested in seeing that. So I'm also interested in seeing Justin Fields again this year, if he can improve as a passer, because he was a crazy, weird guy. Remember he had like 60-yard touchdown runs and 50-yard. Like, the guy was like playing Sandlot football and running for touchdowns like it was nobody's business. So I'm interested in him. What about – oh, by the way, Horace Hogan, nice guy. He was just there because Hogan, he was Hogan's cousin, so he got paid and never really did much. But he was a nice guy, you know. Yeah.
He had experience and a history though, because he did a run of house shows with WWE, of course, when Hulk was there, and then he also wrestled in Japan.
I've got nothing bad to say about the guy.
Yeah,
he was just nice. He was there. He wasn't really a guy you'd hang out with a lot, but if he did hang out with you, he was cool. You know, so yeah, it's fine. So, what NFL team are you looking forward to this season, Conan?
I just follow my teams, the Dolphins. Hopefully Tyreek Hill isn't in a lot of trouble. And
wait, what do you mean? What happened?
He was accused of assaulting punching his girlfriend or something like that.
Wait, recently?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Pull that up. While we're doing this show, look that up. Tyreek Hill assault.
Yeah, I got it.
I haven't heard this.
Last week, Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill was accused of slapping a man during an argument.
Okay.
Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, said the situation is ongoing and could not comment. Not much new has been added to the story. That's it. Yeah.
All right.
Scott, this back in 1997, a slap in the face was $40,000. So Scott Hall told me that, because Scott Hall slapped somebody in the face, got sued, had to pay in civil court, had to pay $40,000 to
that. Right.
So that was like the go. So I would doubt this is much of a big deal for Tyreek Hill. He's not going to go to jail, and he'll probably just settle and give the guy maybe like – it's probably worth like a couple hundred grand a day, which he can obviously afford. So I don't see any problem with that. And I am interested in seeing – you know, it's kind of weird because the Dolphins are a very enticing team, especially if they do get Dalvin Cook, right, Conan?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
– a Miami boy, by the way.
But it's like, you know, it's like Tony Ferguson. When Tony Ferguson's fights now, it's like you're worried the guy's going to get knocked out cold because he's been in so many wars. Like, that's what you feel about Tua if he takes a big hit. There's always the fear of the next concussion, he might be done. So he's like, but he's a great, you know, he fits that offense. So I don't know. You're right. That is an interesting team to look at. So,
And so I just follow my three teams, the Raiders, even if they're going to Vegas, the Chargers, even though if they're in L.A., and the Dolphins, which is where I grew up.
Next is from Brian Dunlop. He's our resident Booker guy. What feels better, linguistically verbally buried a pro wrestler or putting them over? Hello, Conan, Disco, and Joe. As participants in the digital wrestling media space, we're allowed to provide our take on the modern wrestling product. We all in some way negatively criticize or put over a wrestler, whether it's in written form or through a podcast. But what feels generally better to you? A lot of people like to bury Hit Row, for example. There are probably hundreds of examples of wrestlers that wrestling critics like to bury. By the way, I was thinking that what if the WWE give the group brass knuckles with Hit Row written on them? Maybe they can benefit from a distinguishable prop weapon. What if they annihilate the New Day when Kofi Kingston comes back? I remember someone in the K100 YouTube comments section saying Top Dollar should try to emulate Shug Knight. While it would be easier to bury a group like Hit Row, for me it feels better to think of what might work with them rather than linguistically condemn them to the trash heap. What about you? I agree. Because remember, bro, when the Top Dollar was doing those promos, right. It was like Shug Knight. That was very entertaining.
Yeah, like in his car and shit.
And I don't know why they didn't put that on the show. Just throw, bro. They were like a minute long. Put this guy on these promos for about 3 or 4 weeks, and I think people are going to be interested in the guy more interested than just putting him on TV to go out there and do a job. Like, would you? I mean, that's kind of common sense. You agree, Conan?
Yeah, but at the beginning, he said something that. He's from the digital media space, and he's allowed.
Yeah.
What, say it again?
Well, he's on the internet, so everybody and their mother gives their opinion on the internet, basically.
Right. Yeah. And so the first thing that popped in my head is I really could care less about most of the people, what they say on the internet that are supposed to be experts, because most of them aren't.
Right.
To me, like, experts is like Meltzer, Cornette, Paul Lee, you know.
Eric.
Right. Eric, Vince McMahon, Kevin Sullivan.
Vince Russo. You know, like, the guy, yeah. The right. guys.
Have, Any right. of these other Mark podcasters that weren't in the business, bro, I could care less what they had to say. Just like a lot of people could give a fuck what we have to say. Like anything else, you look for a voice you kind of like or agree with, or whatever makes you listen to a podcast or a TV show for weeks on end. I like to listen to people I don't agree with, because I always learn something new and how the other side thinks, so I can understand them better. And if there's ever like a discourse, I'm informed of how the other side thinks. Because sometimes when I hear the other side talk, I go, I never thought of that. Me yeah, too. You never thought of that because you never listened to them. You're listening to your echo chamber.
Right.
And so that's why when people go, well, I don't agree with Disco, that's why I don't listen to the show. Well, good. That's not the listener I want. So keep it moving. You know what right. I'm saying? I like to be challenged. I like to think. I like to fucking, you know, sometimes when Ben Hameen is on here and he's giving me his conspiracy theories, it makes me look and go, well, could this be true? I mean, maybe it is and maybe it is. You know, it's up for you to find out for yourself, you know.
But it's different aspects of the spectrum of the thought process that you're going through. Like, for right. example, like I said, you know, I used to disagree with Dutch and Jeff on a lot of their booking philosophy, but I never learned more than I did from those guys, because right. they would have like they would tell me things that, and unless they had told me, I would have never thought of. Like, right. like in the I've been in this business for a long time, you know, but these guys have right. been in territories for years and stuff, and they just know, you know, like just like seen everything and seen everybody go through. Bro, how many wrestlers went through Memphis before they went to like WWE or WCW? Like, right. like
and not only that,
like all they of them, came, you know, yeah.
Plus, they came from an era that I actually, you know, was a part of the tail end of it, where there were no guaranteed contracts. If you didn't have a good house, you didn't get paid.
Right.
So everybody yeah. was in there cutting, everybody was in there cutting fucking wicked promos, you know, because if not, they wouldn't use you. You know what I'm saying? So everybody had to be on their game, because everybody's trying to fucking fill that arena.
All right. Next.
I think you missed one. If you want to look back, it's the title's Mailbag. It's from Ryan Keft. It was right before Harry. And I think you missed it.
Oh, I think that's the one we did right before. I didn't read this when Conan left. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Next mm-hmm. is from Ryan Keft, and the subject is Mailbag. G'day, fellas. I'm in between yourself and Conan for my personal taste in wrestling. Modern day style, but with a sense of realism. I generally enjoy Alvarez's take on wrestling, but during his review for the Omega match against Ospreay, he, along with all the other Mark podcaster personalities, were almost climaxing over it. One thing he referenced that he said, it's a class above their last match, was the kick out at one from the One Winged Angel. Please tell me how the most protective move of the last decade when used by Omega makes a match much better when it's a kick out at one when used by anyone else. Not to mention the incessant kickouts by Omega from all of Ospreay finishers hit more than once. I had a near brain aneurysm when I heard it. Thanks, boy. I'm not going to criticize Brian for liking this type of match. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is like, I'm not – here's all I'm saying. Okay, there's a certain style of professional wrestling today. I would suggest that, like, I think it's going a bit too far away from, you know, having – if you want to draw fans, I think you're doing enough stuff in the work today which is turning fans away. It used to be WWE. The reason people were cringe at the WWE product is because the booking, the segments, the shit was so cringe and corny, the backstage segments, the 24/7 stupid skits. And like, there was so much cringy stuff, and, like, people just would stop watching. Right. I'm saying that enough stuff, you guys are doing enough stuff in the wrestling today that is causing people to stop watching. And I would argue that. All right. I think the thigh slapping, the Japanese forearm spot, and the fact that everybody and their mother does dives now and everybody stands there to catch them over. When it wasn't that frequent on the shows, we didn't really notice it. But now it's a copycat business of people seeing stuff that they think gets over. So everybody's copying the shit that gets over. And now everybody's doing stuff that should be doing less frequently during the matches. And I think we could all agree on that. But, like, how are you going to convince the wrestlers to stop slapping their thighs? To stop, bro, it's like if you're going to slap your thigh, okay, it has to be a super kick. The guy has to take a bump. You have to cover him, and you have to get a false finish out of it at least. Because doing, because of the concept of Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels would slap his thigh. When you do the super kick, he would do the thing before that. Remember, he'd do the foot stomp, boom, boom, boom. He'd be in the corner, right? And he'd be stomping his foot. And the crowd would be like, they'd be clapping along, boom, boom. And he'd do the super kick. He would slap the thigh, but he wouldn't just overhand slap it. He would bring his foot up and like bring his, smack his hand down in very short motion so he kind of didn't really notice it. Mm-hmm. But it would make the sound that you cracked the guy's jaw, and he would cover him and he would beat him. Okay, that's why he would do that with the thigh slap. So when you're doing the thigh slap and you're simulating the sound that you're cracking the guy's jaw and the guy doesn't even sell, it's fucking stupid. It's like, why are you even doing that? And now that to the point that a lot of the girls do this, bro, you kick somebody in the stomach and they're slapping their thigh.
Yeah, that's,
there's never that's impossible to happen. It's a leather boot and a belly. You're never going to get a smacking sound out of that. So you're doing stuff, and you're doing it very openly for everybody to see. That makes it look like, okay, this match is fake. I'm simulating the sound because I'm not really hitting the person, or I'm not tough enough, bro. If I was on TV, I would call out the thigh slappers as a bunch of pussies and say, you guys have to simulate the sound of hitting somebody because you're not tough enough to make them hurt. And I would say that. And like, see if like, you know, like, you know, as I say it on national television, like, you know, and like call it out and see if anybody can.
You know whose character could say that and who? Really get away with it? And who? He's supposed to be coming here soon.
Who?
And remind me to tell him, Joe, Fandango.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Dirty Bingo.
Dirty Bingo.
Yeah. That would be a perfect shtick for him.
Right.
Call out the thigh slappers. You guys are like, I'm going to go.
Write that down so I don't forget, Joe.
I'm going to wrestle some guys that's going to come out here and slap his thigh and pretend he's hurting me. Like, you know, trying to lie to the audience and pretend he's like hurting me by slapping his thigh. Like, he's like,
right. What is the percentage that you think Joe does not remind me?
Well, he's writing it down. He's writing it down.
Okay, no, that's good because I had to tell him. But
right.
What is the percentage that he somehow forgets?
I got it.
Give me the over under.
40%.
40%.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 40%. Wow. 40%. How much?
I say six.
Yeah,
I suck.
Even higher.
Conan has been.
Even though you write shit down, that's what you do when you don't have a good memory. You write it down, right? And you look at it every day.
The cat pees on the pad, and it's like you can't read it.
But I wanted to say, just to put this into context, and then see what you guys think of it. The spot he described, it's late in the Omega Ospreay match. Ospreay's got the advantage. So he puts Kenny up in the one-winged angel. Wham! He's using his own move against him to show him up. And Kenny kicks out immediately at one.
Kicks out at one and does the Hulk Hogan kind of hulk up on his knees, like, you know,
my finisher, you son of a bitch, that kind of thing. You know, is that right? What do you think about that?
Well, that's not that's
nothing to complain about.
If they think that's like psychology, and you've had 25 other kickouts during the match, it's like that's not psychology to me.
Now, remember, it's a move no one's ever kicked out of when Kenny does it, right? So, yeah.
Right. So here's the thing. I like how this guy said he likes the modern style with a twist of realism. Is that what he said?
Let me see. The exact words were...
modern day style with a sense of realism. Yeah, you know it.
Right.
That's what I like too. Now, here's the thing about like the super kick. The problem is... Glenn, the super kick, which used to be used as a finish, the first guy I ever saw do was Chris Adams.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay? And good one it was too.
Right. And it was a finish, and you bought it as a finish. Right. Mm-hmm. Then Shawn Michaels, who always used it as a finish and, you know, went into the corner, stomped his foot. But somewhere, somehow, people figured out, let's use this as a high spot because it gets a pop. And
Japan started getting
Japan.
Absolutely. And you know how these guys have embraced Japanese wrestling. They started seeing all these guys.
Yeah, but in Japan they weren't. But in Japan they weren't hitting their thigh, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So they started to use the super kick and then adding the thing because it would get a pop because it's only done once a match.
Right.
But now you do it in every single match, various times. It looks silly, you know. Right. And that's the problem. You know, it's almost like before. If you remember, bro, remember Dory Funk's. See if you remember Dory Funk's finisher.
Step over toe hold. Yeah.
Okay. And there was another one.
Believe it or not,
this was his finish in Florida.
Oh, the double suplex, right?
Right.
Double underhook, right? Yes.
Right. that's not a finish anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's a false finish. The you know, like there's so many things now that aren't finishes anymore that they use them as high spots because that's just the you know the way the business goes. But I just think that I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be a good match. But you're very right. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned out of wrestling, which makes it look really bad. Because I always tell wrestlers, do you not watch your matches back on TV? Do you not see how many times this is being done? Do you not see how bad it looks?
Well, you know? Remember when we'd go over finishes and we'd be on TV and we'd be doing a spot and we'd be second match on the show and we'd be like, hey, we need to kind of tell everybody we're doing this for the for a false finish or a finish. So and it'd be a basic finish, like a backslide. Hey, we're doing a backslide, or, you know, and you tell the other guys, hey, we're doing a backslide for finish earlier. So don't like we just say you basically just make sure that all the moves aren't repeated ad nauseum on the show. You know, like like they are now, because it doesn't seem like the guys talk to the other guys go to eventually because they're all doing the exact same spot. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, they're just trying to get pops. That's the problem.
Right. This is an interesting email. Sean Burgess, unimpressive Japanese wrestlers. And RFK. Hi, gents. I hope all is well. Love the content weekly. I don't normally watch wrestling, but watch the odd bits here and there, so I know what you're discussing. I decided to watch a bit of the build-up of Forbidden Door, and I have to say that other than Okada, who I think could be great in WWE, I wasn't impressed by the look of any of these Japanese wrestlers. They all look old, chubby blokes, and I see online all the time about how great their work is, and I wasn't impressed with that either. Tanahashi literally looked like he'd won a competition to give wrestling a try, and the less said about it, Suzuki, the better. When are we going to accept that this industry, ratings and who watches, is massively impacted by the eye test? Someone has to catch the eye. Nothing I saw impressed me or sucked me in to watch again other than Okada. I hate to sound like a hater, but it's hard to like. Sorry for the rant. Also, in the RFK 100 Talks episode, Joe and D.I. referred to Kennedy as anti-vax. I thought the discussion was class. However, RFK isn't anti-vax. He is pro-safety. He's more concerned about the impact vaccines could be having on children's health. That doesn't make you anti-vax. What he's bringing to light is incredible. Love you guys. Keep on keeping it 100. Sean from the UK. Let me say real quick about the RFK stuff. I said he's been referred to as anti-vax. I'm not saying he's anti-vax. He was very clear on his Bill Maher episode. He said, I'm not anti-vax. I just want vaccines to go through the same protocols for safety that other medications do and that they do not do with vaccines. So vaccines need way longer periods of for long-term effects for safety discussions
That's obviously the narrative from the other side because, for example, he says he does, and maybe he's been misquoted on this, he says that he thinks vaccines cause autism.
Right.
I do think he believes that.
It's hard for me to understand when everyone became so pro pharma and stuff like that, like immediately trusting them, because, you know, Pfizer's been fined $2.5 billion for illegal marketing in their drug cases where they're going to lie about side effects.
They've lost more than that? They spend billions of dollars on advertising, which is why you don't hear any criticism from them. They're literally paying people to put their shit over, and you don't hear, and they're literally paying people to suppress people that criticize them. Like, all these media places can get money from pharma. Watch Fox News. The whole show is pharma advertising. The whole show. One drug after another. It's like you watch it. It's like Jesus Christ. The pharma literally runs the media. You know. So of course they're it's going to get their message across. You know.
It says here Pfizer has been a, quote, habitual offender, unquote, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing physicians and suppressing adverse trial results.
Of course.
Since 2002, they've been assessed $3 billion in criminal convictions, civil penalties, and jury awards. So,
bro, when you're talking about billions of dollars, so perfect examples like the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, okay? You're talking about people trying to find out about people that have so much money that they can prevent people from finding out about them.
Yeah.
They can pay enough money to keep people quiet about what they're doing because they have exorbitant amounts of money. And that's what money can do. They can buy the narrative, which is what money does. And if you look at who's spending the money, that's who's delivering the narrative. And how do you fight against that? That's the one thing Robert Kennedy Jr. is the reason he's been getting hate. One of the things he said is he's literally going to try to fix healthcare in this company and get people away from basically being the prisoners of the pharma money advertising campaigns. He wants to separate pharma from he wants to get rid of pharma being able to influence like they can with their money.
Now,
why on earth would you think he's literally going after all these media companies, advertisers, their main advertisers? So how do you think they're going to treat the guy? He's going to get complete negative press from everybody because he's going after their advertisers.
Right.
So it's just common sense, you know.
I looked at this real quick. It says pharma companies forked out just under $8.1 billion last year on ad campaigns.
$8 billion.
And that's not worldwide, because there's only two countries that allow pharmaceutical advertisements, and it's the US and New Zealand.
And if you wonder, okay, remember when all the heat Brock got when he didn't put over Coors Light and he put over Bud Light, you know, when he had the thing, and he got a lot of heat over that, right?
Yes, he did.
So you just wonder, like, when you sit there and say, like, how on earth can the number one guy on television, on cable news, by far, at the top of his game, highest paid guy, highest rated guy, how could you possibly fire that guy? Like, bro, this is the equivalent of, like if Roman Reigns got fired suddenly, like tomorrow. That's what happened to Tucker Carlson. Okay, and you'd be going, what? And then you just sit there and say, bro.
But didn't Tucker Carlson have a history of being like saying sexist shit and being rude?
No. That's not what it was. That's not what it was. They tried to make it.
Right.
Literally 5 days before, okay, he went after the pharma people on his show.
Right.
And called them out for why you're spending money. Bro, he pissed off the advertisers. So here you are, your main advertiser that's driving all your money, giving you $1 billion to pay this guy. Okay. Right. And this guy's burying your advertisers. Well, what do you think the advertisers did? You got to get rid of this guy. Yes. If you want our money, he cannot expose the gig, which is what he did on his show.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, it's like how on earth could the number one guy on TV get fired? That's insane. Nope. Especially in the climate of television today, where they're constantly looking for ratings. And you got rid of your number one guy, and now your ratings stink.
To wrap that up, it's Conan said, you know, $8 billion on advertising. Now, just imagine a guy is a rabble-rousing about pharma, and say something happens where we pass the law that, like the other countries, we don't allow pharma ads. Now all that money to networks all around the country is gone. No more $8 million. Of course they don't want that to happen.
Right, of course not. How are they, bro?
And let's not forget about lobbyists.
They bought the politicians and they bought the media. And I said this a year ago. We're literally like being run by the drug dealers have enough money that they're spending, that they're just delivering the negative narrative and spending it on everything. So.